Coming to you from Cary, North Carolina, and Jackson, Michigan, it's the Get Options Podcast with your hosts Adam Silver and Kyle Maurer. This is the show where your WordPress questions are given some serious and not so serious options. And here they are.
Hello and welcome to episode 120 of the Function Get Options Podcast, the irreverent fun advice show about your life with WordPress. I'm Adam Silver with my friend, my buddy, my compatriot, Mr. Kyle Maurer. Say hi, Kyle.
Hey, Kyle. And hey, Adam. How are you today?
It's good. I'm good. It's been a while. We took one heck of a hiatus, didn't we?
Did we?
We did. We took a solid 3 weeks off.
Wow.
Due to a couple things. One, I mean, you were traveling, which was not any reason. The hiatus came. I mean, you were traveling, A, so you were going to be away. I reached out to a few people to try to record a show or two, and scheduling just didn't work out both times. So it's on me this time. I mean, you can drive the bus right over me.
Okay.
So
cool.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. You dropped the ball, man. I'm really disappointed.
Actually, no.
You let me down.
Whoa.
Let me down.
Well, actually, at this point, I'll blame Dustin because he's not here to defend himself.
All right.
Yeah. So, well, there's that. You know, there's just, you know, it's been a crazy time. You know, you were traveling. How was your travels? You came back early. We'll talk about that here. That's going to be the topic of the main question today. But how was the travel before?
My life. My life is the topic.
Right. Before you came home early, how was the travel up until that point?
Oh, man. It was spectacular. I've wanted my whole life to go and visit the Emerald Isle and finally got the chance to do it. And we planned a trip that was close to 3 weeks, like 2.5 weeks. And we only had to miss out on really like the last half a week,
right?
In which we didn't have that many plans. So at the end of the day, like, it was a great trip. It was a great trip. Cut short or not, everything was good. We didn't mind that much. It was a little scary and stressful. Definitely the decision was difficult and it was a little costly to book an additional ticket, But I had a great time just exploring Ireland and meeting some relatives over there.
You just booked one additional ticket, so you left the wife and child there?
Well, yeah. Well, I mean, what else am I going to do?
Right. You know, it's like you had to be here for the show.
Exactly. I wasn't going to miss another week.
Right. That's crazy talk. I mean, they don't have internet in the on the island over there, do they?
I mean, they were fine when I left them. I'm sure they're still okay.
Yeah. Bangers and mash. That's all you need.
Yeah. We tried oysters for the first time and... I don't know. They didn't like them, and I don't know how I feel about them.
I've had them in the past. They're, you know, salty and oceany, and you know,
a little strange. Yeah. Yeah.
You should have some what are they called? They're oysters in Colorado. They're called something specific. I can't think of the actual name of them, but I'll think of it and I'll share with you in a minute here. So.
Okay. Like, okay.
Oh, Rocky Mountain oysters. That's what they're called. Rocky Mountain. You should try some Rocky Mountain oysters in Colorado.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Should I?
Oh yeah.
Are they good or is this a joke?
No, not a joke. They're a real thing. But you have to you have to Google it on your own to look them up to see what they are. Exactly.
Oh. All right. Well, while I was offline, what did I miss? What's happening for you?
Besides
dropping the ball on our show.
Right. Besides that, not a whole lot. Were you here from when I had my 6-year anniversary of the other show?
You got another show?
Yeah. Wow. Which actually reminds me, it brings up the perfect point right now. We'll mention that a little later. Actually, it's different. But yeah, I have another show. But besides the point, so it's 6 years of the other show. Pretty much just rested, relaxing right now. You know, just chilling. Nothing's going on really in my life. No, actually, it's not true. Had to drive up to get my daughter from, she was here. Avalon's here. We drove up yesterday to her college. They've been kicked out of the dorms. So not because of grades, but because of the
her behavior.
Her behavior.
Yeah.
And the issue at hand.
Oh, yeah. That too. That was probably it as well.
So it's kind of crazy. So she's out, you know, her freshman year is short-lived by, you know, 8 weeks. Living back at home with the parents, and she's like, ugh. And I feel for her. Anyway, we'll talk more about that as well.
Yeah.
But, you know. Yeah.
Whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's just college.
right. So, yeah. I mean, other than that in my life, I mean, some other stuff's come up and gone away already, and we may talk about that in future episodes, but I don't want to talk about that right now. I want to talk about the news.
Oh.
This is the point at which we do talk about everything that's new.
Sip of coffee there. Nothing new going on in the world. Everything's really calm, normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what it seemed. Yeah, I got back here and I just couldn't believe just like how tranquil Everything is. Everybody's just, you know, just plodding along with their lives.
However, that could be true or not be true. You take what you want, dear listener. But the also in the news, the call for speakers for WordCamp 2020, WordCamp US 2020 has been an issue. End of October. So we're hoping that this calmness stays on track. Wait a minute. I'm so confused how we want to word that. Anyway, point taken. Call for speakers, WordCamp US is now open. Also, mycamp.rocks has a growing directory of virtual WordPress meetups and conferences. That's put together by David Bissett. Mycamp.rocks, link in the show notes. And that's obviously because of what's going on in the world right now. Everything's been canceled. A lot of things are just being postponed or canceled. So there is that, right?
You guys canceled your camp.
We did. And it was... I guess a relief in one aspect from my perspective, you know, just because of some other things on my brain and going on in the in the headspace for me. So I was torn, and then luckily, I mean, we did it, and then from Central on down, everyone canceled. Obviously, then the cities closed up shop as far as having organized meetings and that kind of thing, right? So
I got it.
Yeah, so Raleigh's been canceled. Everything's been canceled. Yeah. Except the U.S. I mean, if it's the end of the year tours and stuff, nothing's canceled yet. But up until June, all WordCamps are canceled.
Right. Yeah. I've got a WordCamp that I'm organizing for, must be early September, I think, is when our dates are. And I haven't.
Is that A2?
No, this is Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Haven't made any decision on that, actually.
Right. Because you're still far enough out, so.
Right. Yeah, but I'm probably at the point where I should get around to like making sure that our website gets up and we start soliciting applications for this and for that.
Yeah, so there might be a high submission category this year just because people are going to be itching to speak and get out.
Could be. Could be.
Yeah, you never know. So. Mm-hmm. So that's really it in the news, but you know.
What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now. What you wearing, what you're reading, what you're drinking now.
All right, why don't you go first while I fill in the notes here.
I am wearing a WordCamp Miami t-shirt underneath an Empowered by WordPress hoodie and also wearing a GoDaddy hat.
And what are you reading?
Oh, yeah. I'm reading The Wastelands by Stephen King.
Oh, nice. So I'm wearing WordCamp Dayton, but not the one where we met at. And the reason I mention that, this is a year or two after, I think. I wanted to mention WordCamp Dayton. I'm wearing this out of respect to you because if you might have seen the tweet that I put out a couple days ago was our five-year friendshipversary when we met at WordCamp Dayton, you know, 2015.
Yeah.
Wow. It means a lot to me.
Good
time. So I tweeted that out and put a picture of you in the side of the room with your arms sticking up because for whatever reason I took a big group photo or a big, huge, wide pano. And there you were.
Yeah.
And like 35, 45 minutes later, I met you.
Discussion ensued after about who was sitting next to me.
Yeah. It was Ben Cool and Brandon Yanofsky.
Yeah.
Somebody thought it was Chris Wegman. It's not Chris.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
I have the picture. I can zoom in. So they couldn't quite tell. It's kind of grainy. So I knew who it was, though. So.
Yeah. So. It's a silly photo.
It is a silly photo.
I didn't even know you, but everyone's just sitting there. And then there's me in the back acting like a clown.
It was perfect. And then we met after that. I was on a panel. And then you came up and we met, and there's a whole story to that. And anyway, yeah, it was cool. Look at us now. Buddies. Besties. So anyway, so that's
business partners in this very serious venture.
Very serious venture, yeah. Right. So anyway, that's what I'm wearing, WordCamp Dayton. I'm drinking coffee, and the coffee is from Costa Rica, not from our trip to Costa Rica, again. This one's actually from Costa Rica, from San Jose, Costa Rica, where I met somebody at WordCamp Miami a few weeks back, the last and only WordCamp I went to so far this year. He gave me a pound of coffee. He knows I like coffee. And I'm
reading,
I'm still reading, actually, the book I was reading a few weeks ago because I took some time off of reading, Extreme Ownership by... Jocko Willink and Leif Babin. It's they were Navy SEALs, and it's just about leadership and business. It's pretty pretty thick. It's pretty dense, I guess, is the verbiage I want to use. So it's kind of slow read. Yeah.
Right. Oh, so, man. Yeah. I was up late reading last night. Got through a really intense chapter of my book.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty gripping and a little frightening. I get scared easily. I don't watch scary movies. And it's a Stephen King book, and this was a pretty terrifying.
You ever put The Shining in the freezer? You ever see Friends, the episode of Friends when they mention that?
No.
Oh, yeah. Joey puts The Shining in the freezer so he stays away from him. He can keep it, you know, out of reach.
Oh.
anyway.
Yeah.
So, cool. All right. Hey, hey, Kyle, guess what time it is?
It is time to give people a piece of our minds.
Okay. That's right. Yeah, that's right. Hey, Kyle. That's right. It's questions time. That's right. You sent them in. We read them. We researched them. And now it's time to give you some options. Are you ready? It's been a few weeks. Do you remember how this works? Do you? It's been a few weeks. Here we go.
Clearly, I don't.
It's been like, what? What are we doing?
What's going on again?
All right. You want to start? We have one question, and just because it's a kind of a longer, open-ended conversation we want to have. Why don't you go ahead and ask it?
Yeah. This is a case that I don't know that we've ever done this in the history of Get Options.
Probably
suspended
not.
Our normal proceedings and chosen to focus on a specific thing that was topical instead. And so today we have chosen to answer the question which seems to be on many people's minds. How can we survive and thrive while stuck at home with our families?
Yeah, it's because of obviously COVID-19 and the coronavirus things we've been alluding to all episode. You know, I have an option. If you have the ability to go hide in the deep well part of your minivan, do that. Like I have a minivan, and we can put the seats, the back seats go up a little bit, and there's like a deeper well. Like you know, I've been hiding in there. That's how I've been surviving. I put a pillow, I bring the laptop, there's a charger back there, I can plug in,
Is there really?
Oh yeah, I can plug in. I mean, the car's to be on, and I try to leave the garage door a little bit open so I don't, like, kill myself. that's escaping the bigger picture.
Right. Yeah. Little details. Don't miss this important step.
Yeah. Let the fumes get out of the garage.
Shoot, I forgot.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But, okay. So one way is hide in the car.
Yeah, hide in the car.
Hide in the car.
Because nobody's going to be using the car.
You can't go anywhere.
Can't go anywhere. It's perfectly safe.
Right.
They'll never look for you there.
do you have another option?
I have good news for people. Like if you're adjusting to this for the first time, I want to let you know that it's going to be hard and you're going to have an adjustment period. Okay, this is the time where you're kind of getting used to being at home and trying to be productive. And it'll be a little bumpy and you might not be performing optimally. And it might be stressful and ups and downs and this and that. The adjustment period is a real thing. Fortunately, it's not that long. The good news is, in my experience, and it might be just like yours, it only took about 3 years of working at home before I was able to become consistently productive. And so you have that to look forward to, this little brief adjustment period before you're back on track.
36 months max.
Max.
Right.
Yeah.
Twice as long.
That got me back to like kind of normal, average, acceptable productivity.
And it's only 2x from the expected vaccine timeline. So
yeah. And add another 3 years, and then I started to actually perform like quite well.
Right.
So looking at like maybe another 6 years from now, you will be like above average productivity, mostly very consistent, producing work that you're highly satisfied with on a consistent basis.
See, and that's pretty amazing because I've been at this now. I did 3.5 years before, and then I did a 3 year break, and I've been back at it for 3 years. So I'm at that seven year mark, and I'm now just now hitting my stride at a good 60% productivity.
that's what I said. This is good news for everybody. Like you just have to stick it out for a little bit of time, and then like us, you'll get to a point where you'll be productive more of the time than you're not.
Right. I mean, are people really productive 100% of the time at a quote day job and a 9-to-5? No.
I don't know.
The fact that I'm at 60%, I'm okay with.
Yeah. Maybe another 3 or 4 or 5 years and you'll be at 70-80%.
I think that's kind of crazy. I don't think I need to go past 70-75%.
Well, yeah, that's probably unrealistic.
Right. And by then I'll be time to retire.
Yeah. You're only human.
Right. I mean, well,
this is a very distracting world.
Oh my gosh, it is. Yeah. So I do have another option though. So I like the idea, your ideas. Give it time. That's a good option. Yeah, you're right. That's a fact, really. You could always Harry Potter it. meaning, you know, if you have a staircase, mm-hmm. you know, hide under the stairs, you know, make a space. And unfortunately, we do have that space. But Carson, my youngest, beat me to it. He already built out a, created a vibe room in there. We don't trap him in there, but, you know, he voluntarily goes in, but, yeah. He put in like some pillows and a light there and a plug, because there's a plug in there. Our printer's in there as well, but it's wireless. But
the printer.
Yeah. But he's in there and he kind of just hangs out in there and just watches, you know, Netflix and YouTube, you know, in the vibe room of not his bedroom, but that way just like a little separate area for him. He hides out in there.
Oh, that's super fun.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well, to be young.
I know. And flexible, really, because I can't even get in there. There's no way I can't get in there.
Right.
He's almost, he's tall, but he's flexible because he's so, you know, just, he's young.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else you got? Any other options?
I wanted to share some of the things that I experienced when I was getting used to working remotely for the first time. This goes back to 2012, I think, when I started. And during that time, these are the issues that I encountered. I had a highly unpredictable productivity. My coworkers and my clients probably couldn't count on me very well to always get things done consistently, with consistent quality and consistent timing. I was extremely vulnerable to distractions because I was really just adjusting to this and not prepared for dealing with it.
And this is before you had a child.
Long before that. Yeah, it was just me and my wife was working, and really it was just me home alone, just vulnerable to any distraction. My guitar, YouTube, the sun outside.
Me.
I didn't know you at the time.
But it was coming.
Yeah, it was coming. I was constantly dissatisfied with my work. I don't know. That's a complicated thing, but my hours were also super inconsistent. So occasionally working early, occasionally working very late, just like sporadic, all over the place. And this was back when we had one of our first employees, someone that you know. He was a developer who lived in my town, and. He didn't have a great workspace at his house, and we agreed we liked working together, and he would come over to my house most days and we would work at my place because I had an extra room and a desk, and we liked it. I don't think we said he had to. I wouldn't have said that.
Was that Joel?
Yeah. And I struggled so much back then. With getting up in the morning, and I don't anymore. I've gotten pretty good at this, actually. Hey,
okay.
I'm pretty consistently up early in the morning.
Okay,
but back then I couldn't, no matter how hard I tried, and so there were every day I would be like, tomorrow let's start work at 8 a.m. or 9 a.m. or whatever it was, and Joel would say, all right, let's do it. And so he would come, and I wouldn't be up yet. And eventually, he would just let himself in.
Make coffee.
Make coffee. get to work at the desk. And like an hour later or 2 hours later, I would roll out of bed and shuffle downstairs in my pajamas. And he would already have been working for a long time. Just say, good morning.
Must be nice to be the boss.
Looking back, I feel so bad about that. I feel so bad that I couldn't do it.
See, when I've had assistants in the past, like when I lived in Colorado and I was doing more video production work and photography, I hired somebody. And I just felt like if I hired someone to do work in the office, because we had a space that she came to, I had a few people coming and going just doing different types of projects. I felt like I had to totally be working on something different to make it worth the money I was paying them. You know, so, you know, and also I had an office. I had a place to go. My kids were home. Ellen was home at the time. They were young. You know, we have about 5, 3, and a 1-year-old. So for sure, me leaving the house was awesome at the time, you know, but I'd go and work from, you know, 8 o'clock until 5 or 6 and come home for dinner and sometimes go back to the office because I didn't have a home office. And I do like that. I like that whole separation. I really did. But yeah, I mean, the point is, when I had people working for me, on site with next to me, I felt like I had to really deliver, have that make sense from a financial perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. Changes things.
It does. It does. Yeah. It's good though. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that crazy? It's crazy how time has flown by like that for you.
It sure has. Yeah, and for you too. Mm-hmm. You know, lots of changes for both of us.
Right. So, I have a third. I was gonna offer real quick. I have a third option.
Okay.
To survive and thrive, duct tape.
Oh.
For the family.
Oh, for the family.
Yeah. Because headphones, you can only wear headphones. You can only wear headphones so many hours a day.
Yeah.
So if you can really limit how much you hear from them, duct tape.
I don't know.
And you can get different
teenage
colors.
Teenage kids will find ways to make noise without speaking.
Oh, I meant for their hands and legs, too.
Yeah.
Hog tie them, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even pull ties, for that matter. You know, is that what they're called? Pull
Zip ties?
Zip ties. Zip ties, yeah.
Right.
So, you know, I mean, it seems inappropriate. It might seem slightly, prison-like, but these are difficult times.
Yeah.
And them gabbing all the time and watching Netflix, the one wall over, is not paying the bills. I'm the
drastic
one.
Drastic times, drastic measures.
Exactly. There you go. Best quote ever.
Okay. Well, I don't know about you, but I've been encountering a lot of different reactions to this from the people in my network.
Mm-hmm.
A number of people have been delighted at this change. And I'm talking specifically about the people who this is a change for. It's not much of a change for us, but some people are like, this is great, and are rejoicing over this opportunity to work from home for the first time, maybe. And I appreciate their situation. And I have been telling some friends, like a lot of us, this is a message that I have. A lot of you who are working from home for the first time right now have been, and I know this is a tragic situation, but if there was any silver lining that you can find, it's that you have been suddenly given a perfect opportunity on a golden platter to prove that you are still productive when working out of the office. And when things return back to whatever the new normal is going to be, you will be able to, if you handle this situation properly, say, here is my inconclusive proof, indisputable proof, I should say. Here is my proof that I was productive. I got just as much done, or maybe I got more done. I don't know. But there's really no reason to require me to be at a specific place at a specific time in order to get the work you need me to do done. You've got this chance to prove it, and that's pretty cool. And a lot of people are taking advantage of this and proving it. And a lot of companies are discovering that their former rule is groundless. It's falling apart. And many companies are saying that after this, you know, we're going to institute a lot more flexibility when it comes to working at a specific location. Anyway, so some people are excited about it. Other people are a little reluctant. You know,
yeah.
Like, well, I gotta make the best of it.
Some people really don't like working from home. A, they don't have a space for it. They might have the infrastructure for it. They want to get up, get dressed, go somewhere. They want to have that complete separation. Some people just don't do well at home.
Yeah.
Truth be told, I'm 50-50. I mean, it just depends on the day in a given time of what I'm doing, you know, and you know what I mean? I can be fine. I can tell you right now, my difference is this. Yes, you and I, nothing has changed for us at all, obviously, on one brush stroke. On the other brush stroke, on the downstroke, if you will, what's changed for me is now that my family is home, which is fabulous on one aspect, but harder for me because of distractions, because they do make noise, they do walk around, and they do live here. I can't have them be, you know, cooped up, truthfully, all day, or, you know, so I do have to wear headphones, or I do have to pay attention to that, or I can't just walk around on a call from room to room as I might do if I'm talking to, you know, a contractor or a client or just, you know, whatever it may be, or you for that matter, right? When we kind of just, you know, chew the fat at lunchtime or something. That's different. And I would normally leave, like during the summer, I could normally go to a co-working space or go to the library. Well, we can't do that right now. That's the problem.
I know. That's true.
That's true. So it limits what I can do on my day-to-day. Like I can't just get up on, because some days when they're home and stuff, I would just go to somewhere else for the day from, you know, 6 a.m. until 1 or 2, then come home, you know, kind of, then I wind my second half of the day down. But that option for me is different now.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Same with you. You know, you just go. You would go to not Vinny's. What's Gino's, right?
Vito's.
I was close. Something O's. Gino's, yeah. Vito's, Vinny's.
Yeah, yeah. It makes me wonder, just like what would happen if my work life got turned on its head and somehow like Sandhills set up its location in Jackson and I had to go to work there every day. I wonder what would happen. How would my work life be affected? I suspect it wouldn't.
Not too much. I mean, I think you'd probably ride your bike. You guys are a one car family, so you could ride your bike to work. You know, you're close enough to downtown.
Yeah,
it depends on where you were. Seasons. Right, exactly. Right, 3 out of 4. You know, it wouldn't be too difficult because you're in a small enough town. But like, you wouldn't have like an hour commute, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'll never do that again.
Never.
Well, yeah. I don't like saying never, but I just don't see it ever making sense.
Mm.
Yeah, I just become very picky.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But at the same time, if there was an office for my company here in this town, I would probably work there happily.
Right.
And I think I'd be just as productive as I am now.
Yeah, I think for me, I could. It goes both ways. You know, honestly, I can be super productive at home. I can be super productive not at home. It just depends on the day and the mindset and the given tasks that are needed to get done. So. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that it's important for us to stop blaming everything on our environment. As when there are changes, it can be easy to, you know, find yourself in a work funk and start thinking that it's all just because you're being forced to work somewhere different. Mm-hmm. And really, it's probably not. Try to avoid just making those kinds of excuses for yourself or blaming. You're capable of getting good work done wherever you are, any kind of location. And if you're not feeling in the mood right now, you probably would feel that same way
right.
at an office. It's, yeah. You know, don't make it your scapegoat to slack off.
I do have one more thing I want to add to how do we survive and thrive while being stuck at home, you know, the actual question at hand. Is I want to just tell people this is really a thing I just put into place literally 48 hours ago. And that is limit your news consumption to like literally to 15, 20 minutes a day. Because I can tell you.
To only get options.
There you go. Yeah. Because Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, once we knew the schools were going to stay closed and the kids were going to be home and Ellen, you know, was going to be. Get given a lot less hours. I mean, that's the thing for us. It's going to take a major hit for us financially. There's a good chance. And so we're trying to figure that out too. As a flight attendant, you know, she's not going to be flying because they're cutting 30 to 50% of flights. So the news itself can be overwhelming. And there's so many angles to listen to and so many different people and opinions. And I was slightly just overwhelmed by it for a few days there where I would just take, you know, I typically take a little 20-minute power nap after lunch. I was like just sleeping and I was kind of depressed about it. So just kind of, I was not productive. So limit your news, breathe, get outside because you can't go outside. You don't have to be in your house. We're not under, you know, martial law and stuck in your house. You know, it's not war. It's just stay away from, you know, people, big groups of people that you could become a vector, right? So get some exercise, but limit your news. I think that for me, that's really helped a lot. Thursday and Friday and Saturday, I did that a lot. I just, I didn't listen to a lot of news. Not that I'm putting my head in the sand. I'm like, it's not going to change anything. I can only listen to so much.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. So. I think that's good advice. And I think it might not be a bad time for some of us, like those of us who can, maybe just go ahead and take a little time off. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in the position where you're able to, some of us are not, but some of us are salaried with employers who have time off, or some of us are self-employed and maybe you can get by, but like, this is a difficult time right now. Your family might need you or appreciate you being present. The world is a little bit distracting right now. So if you're able, like maybe now is just a good time to take a brief, you know, reprieve from work. Think about it if you're able. A couple other things came to mind as I was thinking about succeeding at working from home. Maybe see if these jive for you. Mm-hmm. I think that I would posit that a good remote worker is an exceptional worker in general, because to be a good remote worker, you must learn and excel at a few skills. And I'm not talking about necessarily some that you might expect, but to be good at working remotely, you have to, one, think virtual first, as opposed to like real-time face-to-face or like phone calls and in-person communication. You have to think, how can I do this virtually, and go to that first. And you have to think asynchronous first instead of real-time. Mm-hmm. Do it by posting something internally that anyone can read and respond to in their own time, not like this second.
Right, right.
Not a call, not FaceTime or Skype or anything, but like threaded conversations, which allow anyone to respond in their time. You have to document everything that you do and be really clear about all the steps that you've taken and everything that has been accomplished and the status of everything, because no one can just say, what's the status? And it's not the same anymore. You have to really document all of your work, especially when you have those employers who are not maybe as just like, what do you say? As maybe as trusting, mm-hmm. That you're obviously getting work done. So the burden is on you to demonstrate what you're accomplishing. And you know what? All of these things are qualities of just a good worker. Like if you were in the office thinking asynchronously and of documenting everything, is positive. That is all good stuff. We all should be doing that, whether we're working from home or working in an office, already. All of the, everything that you do, that you, every topic that you discuss, that you, create in whatever internal system you have, documenting it, for future reference, having well thought out discussions, allowing everyone to chime in their own time, creates a record, which is so much better for the future than those like face-to-face real-time chats that you have now,
right.
which vanish. Like there's nothing saved.
I save everything.
Yeah.
I'm recording this.
Right. you see what
yeah,
I mean,
I
though?
Do. Yeah.
Like this stuff is important, and these are skills that you're forced to learn when you start working from home, but they're just super awesome skills to have. They're important. You're a better worker for having these skills. Other things that came to mind. We've been experimenting with having open office hours via Zoom for some of our teams, mm-hmm. Where free of an agenda, a Zoom call is started and that department can come and go as they please.
Right.
And we discuss what's on our mind. We chat. It's kind of our water cooler time a little bit. And we just work with the Zoom call in the background.
Mm-hmm. I've done that.
Yeah, this is new for us. We've never done this before, but some of our teams are actually appreciating this chance to, like, I don't know, feel like they're working with some colleagues. We get to know each other a little better. We feel more comfortable. Like, often when we jump on our normal meetings, we feel like there's lots of things that we'd like to say, but we don't want to waste other people's times. At least this is our culture. We don't have a lot of meetings. And so when we do, we try and stick to the agenda, be focused, save the jokes and the banter, and the personal updates and the minor observations and concerns and wishes. We save those. But when we have some extended open office hours, a lot of those things come out, and some of it's valuable. So
Yeah, no.
For what it's worth,
no,
I recommend it.
You know, I don't know about, I don't think you had the same experience because you were homeschooled until college. It's like for those of us who went to traditional schools, you know, you're with your buddies during the school day. You come home, we made phone calls, call your buddy, and you do homework while you're on the phone with somebody. Literally, it's like you just saw each other all day, yet you get on the phone. Nowadays, and especially with this, there's more of that happening. I mean, you know, a friend of mine and I, we do that from time to time. Actually, lately, Dustin and I have just done that where we'll FaceTime we'll usually FaceTime each other, and he'll be doing tickets and I'll be doing some of my own tickets or just answering questions or doing an update to a website for a client, whatever it may be, and just with the window open, almost as if we're just kind of coworkers, you know, colleagues working together. And honestly, when that happens, I honestly do feel more productive at times. Because I'm just not going down the rabbit hole of something, a total waste of time. I mean, it does sometimes happen that he and I will start looking at other stuff. But more often than not, we are kind of accountability as far as staying on task.
Yeah.
Whatever that task may be. And actually, my other friend, JavaScript Joe, he's out of Arizona. He had started a thing, and it didn't end well. He took it down. I guess he started, in a sense, ahead of its time, like a year ago, where it was this thing called Drip. It was, I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head, but it was a co-working type of thing where you could have an accountability person do a Zoom with somebody for like an hour. There was a Slack channel that went with it, and there was also a shared playlist that you could kind of do. It was kind of neat, but it didn't quite take off because the community just didn't happen on its own. He didn't have the time. He had a job. He actually works for Google now or Amazon. So he just, you know, didn't have the time to nurture that community to get it going. It wasn't Drip. It was called, I can't think what it was called. Anyway, I'll have to look it up, and it's okay. But something like that. It can work. Those things can work. They just take a little bit of effort.
Yeah. Yeah, so. You're right. This does, it does take effort, though. I like the effort word.
Mm-hmm.
And I was reflecting on it, and you want to know why I think work from home is so hard? I think it's because you are now responsible for everything which was formerly someone else's responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you used to be, there's something about it. Like, you used to be able to, like, if you're in the position where you used to go to work and now you're working from home, you used to be able to just show up at work. And even if you weren't into it that day and you felt lousy, and at least you made it to work. You know, like, there's credit for just that. You could mentally check out, whatever. You still fulfilled your minimum requirements, which are so crystal clear. It was easier on you just because the parameters dictating your physical activity were so clear. Now they're yours entirely to figure out, and that is hard. You actually have to think about what, where, and when. You have to suddenly do a lot of self-discovery and learn about how you work. You actually need to understand yourself in new ways in order to be effective. And you have to have the discipline to enforce rules which were formerly enforced by someone else. All that is hard.
I need a new boss because my boss sucks.
Yeah.
The guy in the mirror, he is not very good at managing me, let me tell you.
Yeah. You would probably echo this from a parent's perspective, but like, I don't relish the responsibility of having to enforce rules on my child. Like, that's not the fun part of the job.
Oh, I like that part. I love that.
Well, maybe you would. I guess that doesn't surprise me, but that's like the work. That's the hard stuff. Is like, she's awesome. She's great. We're having fun. Oh, she just did something that she's not supposed to. Now I have to stop whatever I'm doing and I have to enforce a rule. No, you can't climb on the table. You can't throw things. You can't dump that out.
We're talking about Ashley or Abigail?
I'm not naming any names, but that's work and that's hard.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have to do that for ourselves where it was formerly someone else's responsibility to do it. Even if like the rules are just like laid out and not, and no person was really enforcing them, they clearly exist and we have to follow them. So now it's our job. Like, our job just got harder because we're taking the burden on of being the rule enforcer and the rule creator. So it is hard. This is part of why it took us years to really get any good at it.
Yeah, no, it's not easy. No, not at all. Now I'm just depressed. I have to go find a new boss.
I was thinking a little bit about some of the language that we use too, because a lot of these labels I think are used interchangeably, and see how you feel about it. But mm-hmm. remote does not mean work from home.
Mm-hmm.
And distributed is another word that gets used too, and that is not the same as remote. And I wanted to just briefly go over the differences. You know, work from home is something that I think a lot of people picture and want who don't have it. I don't think of myself as a work from home employee or even a remote employee. I think of myself as a distributed employee because our company is fully distributed. And so we are anywhere. And so location is just a thing that doesn't matter. It doesn't mean my location is at home. It means my location doesn't matter. Right. So I can be anywhere. Right. If I have my laptop, I can work. And a good many of us choose to pick up, open that laptop and start working while we're in our homes. But that is coincident, inconsequential. Work from home means you're in your home doing your work. Remote implies, though it isn't always just used this way, remote implies that there's a central office.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you're kind of phoning in. You know, you're working as a satellite employee.
Right.
Separate from the office. And that is not the case for us. And for many of us, Matt Mullenweg has many times mm-hmm. said, he's been one saying like, we should stop saying remotely.
Right. I was just about to say the same thing. He even talked about it on his distributed podcast. When he talked to somebody else, I think at Top Tool or something, whatever it was.
Right. Yeah. He's said that sort of thing for a long time, and that's right. But we still use remote mm-hmm. because it, I don't know, just because it's used more.
Right.
Whatever. There's lots of instances in our language where
Because I can tell you why. I know exactly why. It's because remote did exist before distributed existed and before the concept of not having a central office. There's always a central office to start, and some people were remote.
Right.
But it was rare, and that's what stuck. I mean, that's what stuck as far as the lexicon goes. So now there is no more. I mean, now there are companies such as Sandhills, such as Automatic, such as, you know, all these other companies out there filling the gap, filling the blank, you know, that are decentralized completely.
Yeah.
So that's why. So, but people just say, I work remotely. Well, you know.
Right.
It should be I work distributed or I work, you know, wherever I want.
Right. Location agnostic.
Right. OEO.
Maybe. Yeah. All these are, I don't know, better. But that aside, my last thought was how important I think ending your workday the right way mm-hmm. can be. This is another just like survival tip or something. It's so important to finish the day strong.
Three beers.
At least for me.
No?
One tip is don't publish something which will result in a lot of responses right away at the end of your day. I think it is a smarter practice to save it and publish first thing in the morning. This takes a little bit of restraint because maybe you've been working on something all day and you're like, I just want to finish it and I want to hit that publish button and then I'm done. That's satisfying. But I would discourage you from doing that because what happens is if you publish a thing, especially a thing which is requesting feedback or is likely to result in a lot of responses, which is the case for a lot of the things that I make. I'm publishing things that are like, here's a draft of a new company policy. Tell me what you think. Here's a proposal for our next company, this or that, or our meetings, our meetups, or all this stuff. And so it's like looking for responses. And some of the things I work really hard on and maybe are contentious or complex or mm-hmm. impacting a lot of people in the organization, and there's going to be heated discussion about it. So I'm learning that it is important for me to finish strong, get it done at the end of my workday, but don't publish it till the next morning.
Right. Smart.
That's one.
Yeah.
I'm trying to not be so strict about the exact timing. Now, my wife wants me to be strict about the timing so she can know when I will be joining the rest of my family. That is appreciated. But I have found that it is more important to it is less important to finish at a specific moment than it is to finish when I'm finished, I should say. As opposed to, like, if I want to finish at 5, don't just start a new thing at 4:45.
Right, right.
Just ditch early instead of just, like, if I'm in a situation where all I've got is these bigger projects and I've got another 20 minutes to work, so I'm going to just, like, piddle about and, like, just read my bulk email and kind of waste time until 5. Well, don't do that.
Right.
Just ditch early.
That's what that's what pilots say over the ocean. You know, if they can go 2 more hours without running out of fuel, nah, just ditch it.
Yeah. I'm trying to learn to be better about spotting rabbit holes and whirlpools, which will suck me in ahead. Like, if I see something, like, I could dive into this or start responding to this thing or read this thread or break ground on this project. But I'm getting a little bit better, and I think we all should try to see in advance which ones are going to become those whirlpools. Mm-hmm. And anything which might be distracting you when you do step away, when that time comes, at, like, while you're eating dinner, and this happens to me too often, where I walk away from my desk and I go into the kitchen and we sit down to start having dinner, I'm just not there. Because I was in the middle of something, my brain is still spinning.
Right, I've done that. If you have that look, you're, like, just looking off, you're gazing off to space, and your family's like, hello? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the worst.
Yeah, that happens too often. Yeah. So we got to be careful about seeing those types of things before we dive into them when our day concludes. So I'm trying more often to purposely save some of my easiest tasks for the end of the day, and that is really good.
Right. It's good. Good tips. Lastly on this, from my perspective, is that we're going to put a link in the show notes to some articles on the topic that we've seen out there. A couple there from, like, Rebecca Gill, from Help Scout, Zapier. A lot of people have opinion on all this and have ideas and concepts and theory. So we'll link to those in the show notes. Check those out as well. So,
yeah.
Cool. Cool, cool. All right. Hey, we do have a segment. We're going to do a quick segment this week. It's Do and Queue, where we share what we are queuing up in our lists of life, if you will. Mine's short. I have 2 categories and 3 each. So I'll do mine real quick. Mine are podcasts and documentaries.
Okay.
So podcasts. So I've been spreading my wings and trying to get a new thing to listen to. Podcast Darknet Diaries. It's about hackers. I love it. Love this show. Because I am an old school hacker. I mean, people may not know that, but I used to do some nefarious things back in the day. So I really enjoy the show. Yeah, yeah. So Darknet Diaries, The Daily. It's over at the New York Times. It's a daily podcast. It's what I'm using for some of my news ingestion based on what's going on. It's a daily show. I don't listen to every single one, but the ones I do listen to are really well reported and well thought out. And lastly, on podcast is Over the Road. It's about trucking in America. Really interesting so far. So there's that. And then on the movie side, it's just actually documentaries. Again, I'm on the documentary kick. 3 of them that I've seen most recently in the last couple of weeks, actually. One was called Meru. It's on Amazon Prime. It's about climbing the mountain in India. It's MERU. It's on Amazon Prime. The other one I saw over on YouTube is called Vue.js. It's a documentary. It's about the origins of Vue.js, which was fascinating to me. This guy who created it, how he did it, and why, and where it's going. And lastly, silly, I don't know how I found it, but I watched the Taylor Swift documentary. It's on Amazon. No, I'm sorry.
Really?
Actually, it's on Netflix, I think. Netflix.
Okay.
Wow. And how she rose, kind of got really overwhelmed, and the whole thing with Kanye and all that stuff, and came down, and then back up, and the haters, and also, you know, talented as she is, she's a person, and she has feelings. So, yeah. So those are the 3 that I've been... the documentaries I recommend in my queue. You should put in your queue.
The point of this segment. That's right.
Their queue. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You should put this in your queue.
Okay. What do you got?
Good stuff. I've been listening to some similar things too, for what it's worth, actually. So the number one thing, and people listening to the show should know this, the number one thing that I consume is podcasts. I consume more podcasts than anything else, than videos, movies, TV shows, books, magazines, articles, whatever it is. Podcasts, I consume probably twice as much as all the other combined. Mm-hmm. So much of my stuff is in that realm. I really, really loved the series that Radiolab just did. I'm so mainstream for us paid podcast listeners. Like, you're not going to probably be discovering anything really out there and unique. I'm probably telling you about podcasts that you're already listening to, dear listener. I apologize. But Radiolab, like one of the biggest podcasts that exists, did a series right now called The Other Latif. And it was so amazing. It was so good. And they've done a lot of great series before. They put together the Dolly Parton series that I listened to. And gosh, so many over the years that are incredible. They're some of the best radio podcasts producers that there are. But The Other Latif was such a great series. The premise is just there's this guy who's a producer in the show and discovers that there's another person with his same name, because he has a unique name. And that starts the story of discovering who this person is. And it turns out that that person is a detainee in Guantanamo Bay. And the story is insane. It's truly insane. The reasons that this became a story and how far it went like all the way to the top, literally. And it's pretty mind-boggling. So check that out. I was listening this morning to an episode of Broken Record, a podcast about music. Daryl DMC McDaniels of Run DMC. His interview was super good, and he had some crazy stories to tell that were really moving. 99% Invisible recently did an episode about who let the dog out.
I love that episode.
That was so great.
Oh my gosh, it was amazing. I was like laughing out loud. I'm like, oh my, were you
what
not like
the heck?
It said, and there's more. I'm like, what? How could there be more?
No way. That was amazing. You're kidding me right now.
Right.
Yeah. That was super good. Okay, so I've listened a lot in the past to a music podcast called Disgraceland, and I've mentioned that before. The Jake Brennan, the creator of that, made a new show called The 27 Club, and this is about there's artists who have like died at the age of 27 or something like that. Maybe you've heard of The 27 Club. So he's doing his first series for this show about Jimi Hendrix. And it's just great. It's just great. He's a fantastic writer. Everything is just like this poetic, scripted, moving story. And just extremely well done, and I enjoy it immensely. Cautionary Tales is another podcast, which I love. That is brilliant and clever and enlightening. I also have been listening on your recommendation to Darknet Diaries, so I'll just give another thumbs up to that and say I agree. You should listen. I love the show Song Exploder. And they always unpack specific songs with an artist and dive deep into how it was made. And sometimes they'll do a throwback. They usually do like a current song, but sometimes they'll like dive back to something like they did, You Can Go Your Own Way by Fleetwood Mac and stuff like that. Like some old ones now and then. They did Closing Time with Semisonic recently. and that was really cool. The stories behind the song were so moving. On YouTube, I recently watched the Coldplay Tiny Desk Concert, and I love Tiny Desk Concerts, and I watch all of them. But I thought Coldplay's was fantastic, one of the best. And I'm not even really a huge Coldplay fan, but it was just so good. On the flights, I watched two movies. Atlantic flights, I watched Jojo Rabbit, which was super good. I loved it.
I should watch that.
Yeah, and I watched Black Klansman, which I also enjoyed very much. So check those out. In terms of music, I am really digging a song and a band. A song called Kick Out the Windows by Parsons Field. The Parsons Field band is really good. And an artist called Nicola Benedetti on Spotify. She is a violinist and has won a Grammy or two, or I don't know how many recently, but she's just excellent. And a couple special podcast episodes maybe you want to check out. Work from home tips on Your Website Engineer. And working from home tips on a little show called Kitchen Sink WP. I don't think you've ever heard of it. Probably not, but check it out. Have you heard of it, Adam?
It sounds vaguely familiar. Yeah.
Okay. They're pretty good tips. All right. Let me tell you, check those episodes out.
Wow. Thanks for the show on that. Wow. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay, well, there you have it. There's a lot in your queue. Yeah, but like you said, you listen to a lot. I listen to a lot of podcasts also, but I've mentioned the other shows. And I'm trying to spread my wings, like I said. I'm trying to change out like what I'm listening to and do different types of shows, and I really enjoy this new stuff. You know, anyway, right. I really do like that one 99% Invisible, the one with Who Let the Dogs Out. So good. Yeah. Such a good episode. I was so surprised, too.
I was, too. Yeah. Jeez, what a story.
Yeah, anyways. I mean, honestly, if you are... I mean, the song is multi-generational, right? I mean, you know what I mean? It's like I'm, mm-hmm. 15, 16 years older than you, 17 years older. So if you are in the age of, I mean, my kids might even know the song. So if you are, 19 and under, 19 to 15, up to my age, at least, if you're,
sure.
I don't know if anyone older than me. Yeah, actually, no, let's see. If you're in the 50s or 60s, you probably heard the song somewhere, at a wedding, a mitzvah, some celebration party, something, right?
Yeah.
So everyone should hear this story. That's what I'm trying to say. It doesn't matter how old you are. Go listen to that podcast. Okay.
We've been actually like in our gigs, my band, we work in a reference to it in one of our sets. We do like this. Anyway, if you were there watching one of our shows, we do this sort of like silly kind of comedic medley of things in the middle of a jam. And somehow Who Let the Dogs Out always makes it in there.
Nice. Awesome.
Yeah. Pretty silly.
All right. Hey, so there's one more thing here in the notes. Is this current? Is this from last episode?
I don't know.
I don't think it's old. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's we'll wrap it up. So you can find us. Oh, actually, you want to? I'll fix that. Let me fix that real quick. Thanks for listening. Dear listener, I'm going to be you for a second. If you have any questions, please send them to us. Questions at getoptionspodcast.com. Or use a SpeakPipe function in the feature on the website. We'd love to have your voice on our show. You can find us online, Twitter primarily, at @get_options. Kyle's at Mr. Kyle Maurer. I'm at Hey Adam Sober. We're on SoundCloud. Now, let's let our dogs out. Woof, woof.
Woof, woof, woof.
Say goodbye, Kyle.
Goodbye, Kyle.